got a call last year from the Adolph Coors Company, and they wanted me to come out there and work for them. And I said, geez, I don't know anything about brewery. I said, what can I do up there? And he says, well, Randy, he says, you're an athlete. He says, we want you to be on our taste test panel and be a professional taste tester. And I said, well, I says, I better not do that. I says, I'll just start somewhere down there. So I'm presently working at the Adolph Coors Company out in Golden in their hospitality center. I guess a hospitality rep, working with the visitors, taking them on tour, and working night parties out there that they have, and working behind a bar and the reception desk and a little of other things. So I thoroughly enjoy working with people and talking with them, because that's one place that you'll see any type of person out there that's imaginable, because they're rich, poor, black, white, Indian, anything you can think of, they're there. And the nice thing about it, you get them groups of 14, and all of a sudden you take them on a tour, and then the next time there's another group of 14, so it's really a neat thing. In the past few weeks, we've had the women bowlers from Denver coming up there, and they come in groups of hundreds. And I don't know what it is about a woman bowler, but you can kind of spot them. Of course, when they're in a group of 50 or 60, you can kind of tell, since we've been taking them on tours. So what I've kind of done, I've not been limited to time, but I haven't been given the whole evening either, so I'm going to kind of hurry through this. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of my life, probably in 5 minutes. That's probably, it only takes three, but I'll extend it to five. And as John said, that I will open it up for questions, so please think of a question to ask me. Sometimes I say, okay, now are there any questions? And nobody raises their hands. And, you know, I'm just standing up here, I say, I don't know what else to say. So please, if someone would bail me out, at least ask me one question about something, about John Ralston and Woody Hayes, or professional football, or college life, or whatever. Just please ask me something. So what I'd like to spend the next few minutes on is just talking about myself. Before knowing Christ, or becoming a Christian, and kind of the present date, and actually knowing Him and having a relationship. Coming from Ohio, some people know where Ohio is at, right? Okay. How about Youngstown, Ohio? Does anybody know where Youngstown, Ohio is at? Okay. Is anybody from Ohio here first? Oh, well then. Okay, well this can't be all bad. At least we got some people from Ohio. So this, we got a good group. Does anybody know, besides these Ohio people, where Warren, Ohio is at? Okay. How about Champion, Ohio? Nobody. Nobody knows where Champion. Well, that's where I went to high school, Champion High School, right outside of Warren. It's a small township high school. About 500 kids in the high school, and it's probably grown to about 550 in the last 4 years since I've left, so it's really growing there. And being raised in that kind of small township type of school, my parents are Catholic. I was raised for a Catholic, and I was a Catholic for 18 years. And I don't know if we got any Catholics in here. I don't know if we do or not, but I'm not offensive towards a Catholic, but since I've been a Catholic, don't take the wrong impression that I don't like Catholics, okay? Being raised as a Catholic for 18 years, and I did all the things I was supposed to do. I went to Mass every Sunday. Didn't eat meat on Fridays when that was still in effect, before I consider man-made laws has changed that. Went to confession, had my confirmation, went to communion, didn't eat meat on Friday. Went to Holy Day on services, you know, on Holy Days. I did all that stuff. Then I went away to college, and if any of you have Most of your parents probably, and have people coming up through going to college or have already had them. Well, I guess I was kind of the typical college student in my eyes, or in my parents' eyes, because I went away to college and I had an opportunity to think for myself, I guess. My parents didn't actually have to think for me. I'm not cutting on my parents, because I think they're the greatest people in the world, and I owe a lot to them. But it did give me a chance to get away from them and actually think on my own, and I owe a lot to this to my wife, because she actually got me to think, because from Champion, Ohio, you really didn't have to do a lot of thinking. You were just there. And I got away, and all of a sudden my hair started to grow. Well, in high school, when we were from, you had to have a butch haircut. No matter what sport you were in, you had a butch haircut. So I let my hair grow when I got in college, and it's probably as long as it is now that it was back in 1973 or a few years ago. So as you can see, I'm a real hippie type of guy. And my dad just went crazy when I come home on weekends. I hate to even come home to see him, because, you know, he had his money out. Go to the barber, here's your money. He had $20. He said he didn't care what I did with the rest of the money. He says, here, just take $20 and whatever it costs, get your hair cut, you know. And a few of the other things that goes along with, you know, when you're child goes away to college, they come back all liberated and their minds change and this and that. And, you know, I went through that whole deal and my parents went through it. And first, when I got into college, or by my senior year, I guess, I got involved with FCA, which is a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Some of you might be aware, more aware of it out here in Colorado than in Ohio. I don't know, it's not very active yet in Ohio, or at least wasn't when I left. Hopefully it is starting to get to be that way. But by my senior year, Rex Kern started it. Some of you might be familiar with Rex Kern. Played at Ohio State and then went to Baltimore Colts and has since retired, or the Baltimore Colts retired him, in other words. You know, professional athletes, I guess you don't retire on your own, they retire you, because another word of it is get the axe or to trade or cut or something. That's bad words, I guess, in professional athletes' eyes. But he's back there now getting involved with the FCA. And when I was back there my senior year, I started in it. And he says, why don't you just come and see what it's like? I says, okay. So what we did, we just sat around and we got five or six guys together from the football team. And he just opened the Bible and started reading some scripture. If you had a problem, if you wanted to talk about, you know, what was happening in sports or at your position or something, it was just kind of a fellowship time. It wasn't a religious ceremony where you had to pray and sing and, get up and stand and do all this. We just sat around and we had some good fellowship together. And I got interested in this, and never reading the Bible, being as a Catholic, I guess this is one of the things that really kind of irks me, I guess you would say, is I had the Catholic Bible at home for my 18 years, and the only time we read it or looked at it, didn't even read it, the only time we looked at it or opened it was when we had a death in the family, or when somebody got married, or when brother or sister had a baby. So that's the only time we actually opened a Bible in my family. Maybe some other Catholics, it's not the same, but I'm relating this all to mine, and hopefully no one will take offense, maybe if you are a Catholic, because that's not my point. So then after my senior year, I got involved with reading a little bit, and at least I knew what the Bible was now, and because I never read it, as I said before. So then in 1974, I got drafted by the Denver Broncos. I tell you, I didn't know who the Denver Broncos were at that time. I never heard of them, and never, nothing. And now I'm all excited. You know, that's kind of one of the highlights of, I guess, an athlete's career, football-wise, is to get a call and say you were drafted and the Denver Broncos. You know, John Rawson was talking to me and this and that. And we didn't see eye to eye right away, but because I had some of you are familiar with the knee surgery that I had, and that was a big thing. I'll just kind of go over that, so we don't want to get into that unless there are some questions about that later. But I got drafted by Denver, and I called my mom. My mom started crying because, geez, I was coming all the way out to Colorado now, and I was down in Columbus, Ohio, which was 3 hours away, and she started crying, and my wife started crying, and, you know, it really made me feel good. Everybody was crying, and we're going out there to Colorado, and real exciting day that day, I'll tell you. No, but it was. It was, you know, I had to expect that, I guess. Because I didn't know where I was going. I just accepted it. I accept things more easily than my wife does. So I got out to the Broncos, and once July starts for our training and through all the way to December, we are unable to go to church, I guess, in a sense. We start training. We're training 7 days a week, and when we start the games, we're 7 days a week there. So what they do is have a chapel service before every game or Monday night game or whenever we play. And they have a chapel service set up for us, and we're allowed to go there. And it's open up to any players, coaches, trainers. And they will go, just sit around a semicircle or a circle. And we will have Al Elliott, who is involved with FCA in Denver, kind of the Denver director, has our services, or he invites a guest speaker in for us to relate. Or what he does is actually maybe read some scripture, just kind of ease our nervousness maybe that we have, and kind of get our minds off the game for that short period of time and let them know that the Lord, it will be with you and might have something to offer. And then my rookie year, I went down to Dallas, and this past year I went down to Phoenix. They have a Pro Athletes Outreach Conference, which is held annually, and it's involved kind of with the Campus Crusades, and they put on this for the pro athletes. We had about 100 pro athletes down there, about 75 professional football players. And the rest consisted of staff and some baseball players. And I went down there looking, searching. I was not a Catholic anymore in my eyes. I was not a Christian. Kind of was in the in-between area there. And they said, just come on down. Calvin Jones and Tom Graham invited me to come down. It's not religious. You don't have to do anything. Just come down, and you can't lose anything by not coming. So I went down and saw these big, gigantic guys, you know, with their families. They're sitting around praying and thanking the Lord and having a good time, and their families are with them. And I said, geez, man, they got something there I might want. So then I just asked questions throughout the four-day period, and, you know, kind of had a neat time. And one thing, when I got back, my wife says, and I said, geez, I think I want to become a Christian. She says, well, you better wait, because she kind of knows me maybe better than I know myself. But seeing her point, she says, Randy, you were down there for 4 days, and just like anybody else, if we were here for 4 days, we'd all become to love each other, have a great time, reading Scripture. But when we go back out into the real world, it could change a little bit. And I might say myself, you know, I'll jump in with anybody. You know, as long as I'm having a good time, I can have a good time no matter what it is. And I'll do anything. You know, it's a great time. And this certainly was a spiritually great time down there. And I said, well, let me give back for a while and find out about it and see if I still kind of read the Bible or still interested in it a little bit and look at it from that viewpoint. So I did that. And hearing a lot of testimonies down there, I kind of thought to myself, Jesus, maybe I better find out quick. Because a lot of the testimonies that I've heard down there or experiences, either, you know, the pro athlete is kind of a, I guess, select individual. Their marriages were breaking up. They were having problems with their family. Financially, they were going broke. They didn't have anything else to go back onto. They were just down the drain, on the ground. And the last thing they could do was say, okay, God, you take over. This is your chance now. You better do good. And this is what has happened to, I would say, in my seeing of testimonies, has kind of been around 50% or more have come to know that or seen God through some experiences that way. And I said to myself, I said, geez, I don't want to go through any of that. And so I said, financially, I'm not too bad off. My marriage is fine. My wife says, I told that with my wife one time, and she says, well, when was it ever bad? So I got to clarify that. We've never had really a bad marriage yet, so I guess I couldn't say that, but it's been fine. The rest of the family's fine. I've had no deaths in my family. You know, really very close. Nothing, you know, I said, well, can we commit to Christ even though nothing bad has happened? And they said, sure, yeah. So I committed my life probably about a year ago or so. And if any of you read the newspaper, you didn't hear of any earthquakes up in Denver last year about this time or any bad thunderstorms or anything like that, or nothing tragically happened. And kind of that's when I committed myself. So nothing actually happened in my life as far as physically things happening. I've changed mentally. I've changed spiritually, yes. But accepting the Lord is not something that's going to shake the earth up, that's for certain. And so since then, kind of every day now in my life is a learning experience. I know there's Christ. I know that what the relationship is now. And it's kind of a neat thing. And I kind of relate knowing Christ to a can of Pepsi. I know that's probably not the best example to relate it to, but let me explain that to you. You kind of take the can of Pepsi. I guess I should say a can of Coors, working out at Coors, but I'll say a can of Pepsi. And you flip the pull-top ring and you have a few drinks, and geez, that's really good. Nice, good, and cold, and you know, it's a real thing. Or maybe that's Coke. I don't know what it is. That's Coke, I guess. Well, you get the picture. And I, becoming a Christian, I kind of look at my Bible that same way. You know, you take it, you read it, you're starting to understand it, you're starting to, your heart's starting to being open to finally see what it means. Okay, you drink that Pepsi for a while, and then you set it over here and come back an hour or two later or next day, put it in the refrigerator and you drink it. It doesn't taste the same. It's flat. It's probably warm. The quality is gone out of that can that you first had in the beginning. The same thing with my Bible anyhow. Because if I can read it, I can get into it and have a great time and start reading it and finding out now what actually is going on. But if I don't touch it and I set it over here and let it go for a week or a couple days or a month or days at a time, then my faith is going flat. I'm losing what I had in the beginning, and it's kind of a renewal type of thing. And hopefully that example now will get you through. You don't actually relate it to a can of pop, but losing the flavor of the pop, you're going to lose the flavor, I think, of your faith. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not standing up here and saying that I read my Bible every day like I'm supposed to. I would be lying to you if I said that. I try in one way or another, by either talking about or sharing or fellowship or talking with someone else or my wife or maybe then getting into the Word or something. But as humans are, and I certainly know this, there's just not enough time, not enough hours in a day to always do the things you want to do. And as a Christian athlete, people think, well, you're a big Christian guy, you know, you got everything going for you, you got the money, you got your pretty wife, and you got this and this and this. You know, and you say your prayer on the field so you don't get hurt, and so you can go out next week and do the same thing. Well, I don't kind of look at it that way. I say my prayer before I go out for kind of a relaxing type of thing. I don't get too involved with a prayer, just a little prayer, speaking to God and letting Him know what's on my mind. And but it's just not on the field. Sometimes I really feel guilty. I'm praying in the car sometimes. I caught myself praying in my sauna a couple days ago. And I pray about anything, about my traveling, about being away from my wife, about being on a football field, about working out of Coors, about my family back home. It just doesn't say, okay, Randy, now you have to say your prayer when you go out to play. It doesn't say that. Or I don't think it means that. Because I kind of think I pray for anything. And even praying for my grass to get green. And if you don't think that's bad, I don't know what else is. But I think the Lord understands about that too. Because as simple as some things are, He wants to try and make them as simple as possible too. So hopefully He can understand me. But one thing hard as humans, as I found this out by myself, is when you accept the Christ, you have to let Him take control. And as humans, maybe you can agree with me on this, that this is probably one of the hardest things in the world to do. Okay, Lord, You got control. You take it over from here. I'll let You go do it. That's fine at the time because something might be bad happening to you and He'll take control. And geez, that worked out well. But I catch myself even sometimes accomplish something that I've strived for or something's happened good in my life or this or that. And then it's pretty easy for me to say, geez, old Randy did a pretty good job there. You know, I think he deserves a little bit of credit. And it's easy for us as humans to say that, not just about being an athlete, but being in the business field, about your family, about anything. And the hard thing is allowing Christ to be in complete control, to praise Him instead of us taking the praise. Because He was around here long before we were, and He knew what's going on, before we were created, what's going to happen tomorrow on the way home, what's going to happen in the future. He knows all that stuff now. He's got the plan. We just kind of got to follow it out and do the best we can. And when He can do all those things, for me to try and control my life, when I don't even know what I'm going to say next to you people, it's tough. And when you have somebody that way that can take control, you have to praise Him. You have to let Him take the control and praise Him for everything that He does. And I'd just like to relate a verse in Colossians, the third chapter, the 17th verse. Some of you may be familiar, but this is kind of what, as a Christian, as a young Christian, I'll probably be always a young Christian, but at least I'm a Christian. And what I've kind of, when reading in the Bible and finding out from talking with different people, one thing that really relates to me in the third chapter, 17th verse, whatever you do in work or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to the Father. And that verse to me kind of speaks to me, because I don't know a whole lot about the Bible yet, but this is kind of basic. And it doesn't say here, when Randy's playing football, give thanks. And it doesn't say when he's playing racquetball, give thanks. Or when I was in school, boy, I used to pray before my test. And I didn't even know the Lord yet, but I thought I knew Him. And I would say all these prayers to get an A. And it doesn't say to pray before you go to school or before you take an exam or before you go into the business world. It says whatever. And in my terminology, my wife says, sometimes I'm not always the brightest guy, but in my terminology, whatever means all. Maybe not in your eyes, but in my eyes, whatever means all. In actions or in deeds. And being drafted by the Broncos is kind of a test of my faith, because I'm not used to losing. And not cutting on the Broncos, really, but coming from Ohio State, and we lost a few games, but when we lost, we knew the next day why we lost, and we weren't very enthusiastic about coming to practice the next day either. But I'm trying to figure this out, and he's testing my faith on this one, because I don't know why he put me here. And the only thing I can think about, I became a Christian when I came here to the Colorado, and I'm having now the opportunity to maybe share a little bit about my life, good or bad, whatever you want to think about it. I think it's good. It's got to be good for me. But I think he's just putting a little test in there, and hopefully I'm anxious to see what he's going to do. Somebody said about the draft, what happened in the draft. Are these guys good that we got in the draft? I says, I don't know. I haven't seen them. I never heard of them in the first place. I don't know if they're good or not. But I come back with this. I says, well, if they're not good, maybe they'll be Christians, because we can use the Christians on the Broncos team as much as being a good player. And maybe they'll have a dual purpose in life. Maybe they'll be good and they'll be a Christian. So they really help out the Broncos. But I think relating to the Bible, that God gave us a talent. I think God gave me a talent as being an athlete. At least up until this point he has. Or I think so. And he really hasn't put any limit on it. And he hasn't put any limit on your talent either. My talent as an athlete, well, I know in a few years, I don't know how many years, but maybe this year, maybe 5 years from now or 10 years from now, I'll be done. And then all of a sudden my athletic career will be done with, because I'm at the top of my profession. I can't go play any more football after I'm done here, because this is kind of the end of my profession. So I think what he's saying is to develop not just your one talent that you think you have, but you got to develop more talents. And I've always wanted to be a doctor, which kind of sounds crazy. Every little kid probably wants to be a doctor, but I wanted to be a doctor when I was little. And my father probably wanted me to be a grocer, because he was a grocer and he wants his family to stay right there in Champion, Ohio and be grocers. Well, I didn't do that. And some of you people maybe wanted to be doctors or astronauts or carpenters or plumbers or farmers or be an athlete. Something you wanted to be, but you just really couldn't be. Physically, mentally, something. I always relate that mentally part to being a doctor, because I don't know if the Lord cheated me on my brain or not, but I didn't know. I actually couldn't be a doctor, I don't think so. Because I was never too good in math and chemistry and all those other things. I just couldn't hack that. But I've developed another talent besides being an athlete. At least he has not closed off my brain saying, okay, Randy, this is all you're going to do. I think what he's done now, he has opened another opportunity for me. Maybe with the Adolph Coors Company. I don't know this. Nobody knows except him. So I'm taking that opportunity. Maybe in 5 or 10 years when I'm done with pro ball, maybe I'll still be out there. Maybe I won't be. Maybe I'll find out I don't like it from there. But he's opened that door for me to have an opportunity. And if I don't take that opportunity, then, well, I'll never know. And if we don't take an opportunity for something else besides what we're doing, then we'll never know. And then we'll sit around and pout and mope and say, geez, I want to be a doctor, but I just can't, and this guy won't hire me, or I want to be an astronaut, and I'm not good in math, or whatever. There's always other areas. He hasn't put any limit on us. And I kind of relate that to being an athlete, because he has given me that talent, but he's also given me more to develop that talent also in another area. It doesn't have to be in sports. Maybe he's teaching me to be kind of a minister, or not a minister, but able to share what he has taught me. Hopefully this is what I'm trying to get out of this. And I've always known God. Being a Catholic, I only knew that there was a God and this and that. And in the Bible, I only really knew that there was Adam and Eve and Noah's Ark and Christ. Being raised as a Catholic, and that's not too good. And I'm almost ashamed to say that now, but that's just kind of relating to you that actually I didn't know what was going on. But I knew there was a God, but I didn't know about the relationship that you could have with a God. And now I think I know, because He's worked in my life. And I am now presently involved with the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I guess on a college level I was my senior year, now with the Broncos, and we're going around playing basketball. And I'm actually not involved with FCA to the point where I'm an adult chapter with some adults or in the high school group. I, you know, really don't have enough time to do that yet, but maybe once I'm out of football that I will have that time. And the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I think, is a great thing. If any of you are sending maybe some of your children up to Estes Park this year or in the past or maybe in the future, they have a camp up there throughout the whole country at different times during the summer where they invite some pros in to share with them, to get guys together and fellowship with them. Perspiration and prayer, I think they call it. You know, they work you a little bit too, but then it's, by the end of the day, you're ready for some prayer and you're ready for some relaxation. And this is just kind of a neat idea. And you get these big dumb jocks, I guess everybody calls them, but I don't think they're that. That's kind of a stereotype thing where all athletes are dumb. Well, I don't particularly agree with that either, but it's like everything else is stereotyped, and it's very hard to change that. And you get the athletes talking to them, sharing their faith and seeing what they got, and it's got to be a little impact on their life to actually see these big guys getting up here and talking about a God that could be, that is real in their life. So I'd just like to leave with you, just to kind of remember to give praise to God. If you're in business, if you're in religion, if you're in sports, in your family, anything you can give praise for, because He put you there. And hopefully He'll leave us here for a while, so maybe we can get out to other people. I understand the Here Life Denver program is coming down here to Colorado Springs, I think, in the future. I hope so. Just a way of experimenting or finding out that we can actually now get out and maybe reach some people and tell them about what Christ is, because they got nothing to lose, everything to gain. And a few years ago, you wouldn't see any athletes stand up and say, you know, they know God, or anybody really, except some crazy guys standing up professing that they know the Lord now. You didn't see that a few years ago. And you can just kind of see how it's growing and how the ministry is working. And I just hope that God will let me work maybe more and more. And I think the most important thing is, maybe if you can't do it publicly, or that's not the main point. It's through your actions and through what you do. And if other people can see you, we're worried about too much of human praise. See it in the newspaper, see it on picture, radio, TV. You know, you go to church, well, was John and Bob and Mary and all these other people there, were they there helping you? You don't have to know all that. If you know you were there and you know what you did, maybe not just in a church, but in your all day, everyday life, if you know what's happening between you and the Lord, then that's all that counts. You don't have to worry about what your neighbor thinks, about your friends, but anybody else. Because if you're true from your heart to the Lord, then that's all that kind of counts. And if we quit worrying about some human praise and just kind of get into what the Word is saying, then I think that's the most important thing.